Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. And kind of an interesting Monday Night Raw. We got a Vince McMahon appearance, which ended up being very controversial. Another injury. We'll talk about all that in a minute. But we do have to start out with some non-WWE-related news. Because two things have happened. The first thing is, apparently Booker T has caused a tremendous amount of controversy by simply stating that Adam Cole needs to put on some muscle. And for his opinion that Adam Cole needs to put on some muscle, this is a guy who has achieved quite a lot in his career. He's being set upon by guys like Hangman Page and Renee Paquette, who are saying, oh, I hope when I get old, I don't just sit around on a blog show telling young wrestlers how they should be because they're just trying to live out the same dream. This is the problem, folks, with the whole new generation of wrestlers. They don't want to listen. They don't understand. And they think any sort of criticism is automatically an insult to them. What Booker T said is correct, and I'm about to prove it to you. Let's just say that Adam Cole is a far better athlete than Booker T ever was. Let's say that. You may disagree, but let's say that's true. That would be like saying Anthony Hopkins is a much better actor than Vin Diesel. Therefore, we think Anthony Hopkins should play that character in The Fast and the Furious. And how do you think that movie would go? And if you say, well, that would be shit. Oh, why? Anthony Hopkins is a way better actor. How come? Wouldn't he elevate the movie by adding his wonderful skills, his wonderful acting skills? I mean, Vin Diesel's not a very good actor. He's no Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins is an Academy Award-winning actor. Certainly, adding him as the lead would certainly improve the acting in that movie. Thus, it would have to be a better movie, right? Now, if you answer no, that would be terrible, well, then tell me why. I'll tell you why, because he doesn't look the part. That's why. It has nothing to do with his talent. It has everything to do with his looks. And when you look like you couldn't punch your way out of a paper bag, it is not reasonable to go in there against guys who look like they could tear your head off and shit down the hole and win. And Booker T is 100% correct. And Adam Page is 100% an idiot. Stay out of it, Page. How about that? How about you just stay out of it? No one asks your opinion on that. If Adam Cole has a problem with it, let Adam Cole say something. You don't need to run to his rescue. You don't need to be triggered by something somebody said. Oh, my God. Someone said he needs to add muscle. Since when is muscle important in wrestling? Jesus, I don't know. Since when is how an actor looks important in a part? As long as you have the talent. As long as you have the talent, everything should be great, right? So let Anthony Hopkins play Vin Diesel's part. See how that works. See how many people go see that movie. It's absurd. So let me start with that, Mike. Listen, Booker T 100% gave good advice. And for the wrestling community, especially some of the younger wrestlers, to be snapping back like this, clearly to me shows they, A, have no respect, and B, they take every single criticism and every single idea that might actually help your career and turn it into a personal insult, which they reject.
Absolutely. Let's do a quick comparison.
Adam Cole and Tony Nese. Adam Cole, who don't look like he can punch his way through a paper bag, and Tony Nese, they're about the same size, right? And Tony Nese, who looks like he could rip your head off. He's in great. He's the what do they call him? The consummate athlete, or whatever it is that they call him, you know. And he looks like he could rip your head off because he has the look. He's in great shape. He's muscled. He's very athletic looking. That's the thing. And you're right. You look. We talked about Steven Seagal, and look at what happened in the Under Siege the first Under Siege movie. Who was he playing up against? Right.
Right. Tommy Lee Jones. Right.
He was playing up.
Well,
Tommy Lee Jones is the actor there. He is the actor. Steven Seagal was there because he's got the body and he plays the part of the action hero.
Yeah, at the time he had the look. Everything was well. That's what I'm saying. Adam Cole needs to realize, and everyone getting into the wrestling business needs to realize two things. Number one, it would be great if you had thick skin, because unfortunately you're going to be in a business where you're going to need thick skin. So if everything that someone says offends you, this is probably not the business for you. That's number one. Number two, obviously, how you look is an important factor. Now, I could go the opposite way. I could say you could have a muscle-bound guy steroided up the gazoot, and he's not going to get a part. He's not going to get a serious part as he's the doctor in an emergency room trying to save some young boy. They're not going to give it to him because they're going to say, you're too big. You don't look like a doctor. No, doctors don't look like this. Your average school teacher doesn't look like this. You're not going to be just somebody's next-door neighbor because they don't look like this. You're going to get the part as some bodyguard or some big fighting guy. That's what you're going to get because that's what you look like. Well, the same holds true with wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about his height. There are people who aren't that tall who certainly can make a go of it in professional wrestling. But when you look that frail, and then you literally have to get in a ring with people who don't, and that person who don't has to say, well, I have to equally treat him as if he's just as strong and just as tough. And why? Why do you have to do that? That's actually going against your gimmick. If you are all jacked up, you should be able to muscle him around, right? And if you can't, then the gimmick doesn't work. If Tony Nese fights Adam Cole and can't throw him around, what good is it for Tony Nese to have that muscle? Then he may as well say, there's no need for me to do it. I'm just going to stop working out. It doesn't matter. See, the problem is everyone wants inclusion. So they're like, well, I don't really feel like working out. I don't want to do the muscle thing, but I want to be a top professional wrestler. Well, that's not going to be that easy. Now, I'm not saying Adam Cole don't have a lot of talent. Of course he has a lot of talent, but my example holds true. Talent doesn't mean you get to play a certain role. Anthony Hopkins can't play Vin Diesel's roles, even though he's obviously a better actor. Obviously. Michael Caine is a better actor than the guys who play Batman, but who does he play? He plays Alfred. Why? Why doesn't he play Batman? You understand? So this is where Adam Cole is wrong, and this is where Rene Paquette is wrong, and this is where Adam Page is wrong. It's silly. Now let's get to the second AEW thing, and that is Vince McMahon appearing on SmackDown caused a ratings boost, 2.26 million, I believe it was, which is up from like 1.9. It's like 300,000 up. A little more than 300,000 up. Meantime, Rampage just draws 300,000. That's how many views Rampage did, 300,000 and change. So I don't want to hear one more word. I don't care if you like AEW above every other wrestling federation. Fine, I'm glad you do, and that's great. but I don't want to hear comparisons because there aren't any comparisons. Not business-wise. Wrestling-wise, there might be. You can tell me they're giving better wrestling matches over in AEW. I agree with you. But you're not going to tell me, oh, they're breathing down Vince's neck. They're not breathing down Vince's neck. They're not even close. 300,000 TV land gets that for old sitcom reruns. So that's not close. And they should be embarrassed of that number, quite frankly, Todd, because, I mean, when the WWE is drawing 2,300,000 and you're drawing 300,000, oh, gee, you're only 2 million viewers behind them.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said about the ratings and the ratings war on Friday nights. Well, like you said, the WWE is winning in the ratings war over Rampage, and you know it's a whole lot different between the two.
It's not even close. When you're 2 million ahead, it's time to shut up and just put on your product. And stop trying to divide the fans and saying, but we're really wrestling, and if you're over here, you're an elite group of fans that tomorrow Tony Khan would take that 2.3 million if he had to have people stand on their heads and jump through fire hoops. So don't tell me that. And I'm surprised at how many people in the business, former wrestlers, former promoters, are really down on AEW to a certain extent, saying the talent is fine, the show's a wreck. I hear that a lot. It might be time. Tony Khan can be great as an owner. If you're the money man, if you're the, you know, if you want to produce this show, it might be time to hire some wrestling guys. And I mean really, really top-notch guys. Not like Billy Gunn and those guys behind the scenes to just help wrestlers. I'm talking to help run the business. Who know the business, because I don't think Tony Khan does. He knows business, but I don't think he knows the wrestling business. And I think now it's starting to clearly show. And if, you know, you got two shows a week. The WWE is drawing 2.2 to one of them and 1.6 to the other one. That's pretty close to 4 million viewers a week. And you're lucky to get one. One and a half. That's not close. That's not breathing down anybody's neck. That's the difference between City Field being full for a Mets game and, you know, AAA having, you know, 500 people in the stands. It's not the same. Now, again, I'm not saying the wrestling's worse. I have eyes. I understand that their quality of their wrestling is better just due to the fact that they run their federation under a different business plan, which is longer matches, more hard-fought matches, more emphasis being put on the athleticism. I get that. But I'm just telling you that formula doesn't seem to be working. Otherwise, you wouldn't have 300,000 people. You'd have 1.3, Mike.
You would, and that's the thing. And Tony Khan needs to change things up a little bit. And you're right. All the people that were on, let's just say for the sake of argument, all the people that were on, remember, all the people that were on Triple H's creative team for NXT, right? They got rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and hire them.
Sure did.
Go ahead and hire those guys. And, yeah, people may say, oh, well, they came from the WWE, but they know, they're wrestling guys. They know how to run a wrestling show. They know how to book it. They know how to run it. They know how to do everything with it. You know, and that's the thing. And one other thing with this whole Adam Cole looking thing. Think about it this way. Look at when Becky Lynch came back, what did we say about her?
Right.
She looked very thin. And when you put her again, when you put her against Asuka and even Dana Brooke, you know.
I know.
Look at her versus those women, and there's a marked difference between what she looks like and what those other women, let alone somebody like Bianca Belair.
Yeah, see, that's an excellent point. People say, well, you're just picking on AEW. No, we said the same thing about Becky Lynch. She needs to put on a little weight, a little bit of muscle, because she's looking like she shouldn't be able to take out any of those women. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. As far as hiring these other WWE guys, you know, if fans complain and say, well, it's going to be like WWE. Listen, WWE didn't invent this style of wrestling, okay? WWE didn't invent it, and they didn't invent professional wrestling either. Professional wrestling's been this way long before WWE got a hold of it. Yes, they definitely made it more along the lines of entertainment, but there was a lot of things borrowed from other places too. So if tomorrow Tony Khan wanted to do, you know, some things that some people would say, well, that's kind of WWE-like, yeah, well, WWE borrowed it from somebody else too. So, come on. The business is the business. That's like saying, well, you're starting a baseball team. Are they going to have bats? Yeah, they're going to have bats. Are they going to have uniforms? Yeah. Oh, you're just stealing it from Major League Baseball. Well, come on, folks. Yeah, it's going to have the basics. Good storylines, good characters. That's the basics of professional wrestling. Any federation needs to have it, right? But this is showing me that you don't have enough compelling characters to keep people tuned in. Otherwise, you're doing 900,000 on your Dynamite show. How come you're losing 600,000 people? How come you're losing two-thirds of your audience on your Friday night show? And don't tell me, well, people are taping it. Well, how come they don't tape Raw and SmackDown then? If they do that, then you're going to tell me what? That Raw and SmackDown are maybe drawing 3 million? So that's not an excuse. Anyway, let's get on to Raw, because what a weird Raw it is. And we got to start out with the people who are shitting all over Vince McMahon today. I've never heard such stuff in my life. Everywhere you look, somebody's saying it's so inappropriate. He's waving it in everyone's faces. His inappropriate conduct, and he's coming out here basically giving the middle finger to everyone and saying, I don't care about my inappropriate conduct. Stop it. Number one, no one has proven any inappropriate conduct. If Linda and him are separated, which they may not be legally, but certainly everyone knows that they are apart, he can have a relationship with whoever he wants. It's none of your business. Number two, this money being paid that's called hush money, that's done all the time. It's done all the time because celebrities and famous people and big business don't sometimes want people to know that they are really not together with their wife or husband. And so if they have a relationship with someone and that someone breaks up with them, they say, well, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money not to talk about our relationship. Not because anything evil happened, not because anything horrible happened, but because I don't want people to know that I don't legitimately still have my wife or husband, because it would be bad for business. So get that out of your head. Number two, and maybe the most important, is I don't see Vince McMahon waving in anyone's face. I don't see Vince McMahon coming out and doing a skit where he's talking about, going to have a relationship with a woman or anything. You know what Vince McMahon is doing? Vince McMahon is coming out and showing you, the fans, I have nothing to hide. I'm not going to stay away from my own show and my own business and hide in a closet saying, oh, because that makes me look guilty. And I don't feel I am guilty. So I'm going to come right out here, face you people, and let you know I don't feel like I'm guilty. What's wrong with that? So I guess you would hide in your closet then. You would hide in your closet and say, I'll just stay away. I'll stay away until they make their decision. And then you look guilty as hell. And everyone says, oh, I notice you don't see them anymore. Yeah, they're running scared. They're hiding. That's what would happen. So Vince McMahon did the right thing, and I'm not hiding. I have nothing to hide. I don't feel I did anything wrong, so I'm going to come out here, and I'm going to address the crowd. I'm not going to say anything about this investigation because that would be wrong. But my signal to the fans is everything's fine. I'm fine. I didn't do anything wrong. We'll be seeing you soon. I don't see anything wrong with that, Mike. I think, actually, it's probably a good move on Vince McMahon's part.
Absolutely. You know, and think about it this way. To all the people that are shitting over on Vince McMahon. The man in his later years, he deserves to have happiness. You know, if he's separated from Linda, Linda and him are going to separate in terms of a relationship, the man deserves to be happy.
Right. Right. There's no point. I don't understand. I do understand the allegation that if he showed her favoritism and doubled her salary only because, see, the implication is he comes up to this lady and says, hey, honey, how would you like to make $100,000 more a year by just sleeping with me? And she says, okay. That's not what happened. That's what you people think happened. That's not what happened. What happened is he started a relationship with her. Maybe it was going to go somewhere. Maybe it was more than sexual. Maybe they were really digging each other for a while. And then her salary goes up. Well, guess what I found out that nobody's reporting? Her salary went up about the same time as her responsibilities increased. In other words, she kind of switched her job position. He said, you're going to take over a certain other couple things. And for those other couple things, you're going to be getting a raise. Now you can say, well, double seems a lot. Okay, well, maybe it does. But the bottom line is he didn't just arbitrarily say, I'm doubling your salary because you're sleeping with me. He gave her more jobs, more responsibility. And with that came a pay increase. How are you going to prove that that's not justified? And that's why Vince McMahon's not worried. And I know there are people writing me saying there's three or four different investigations now. Vince McMahon, by everybody's own admission that used to work with him, was a womanizer. But here's the thing. I don't think he ever literally said to someone, sleep with me or you're fired. I think these people said, well, maybe I'll get ahead if I do a little bit of that. I mean, it worked with Triple H, didn't it? Triple H marries the boss's daughter. Nobody says, well, that was a scheme to get ahead. So some of these divas maybe did have a relationship with Vince McMahon thinking this is going to solidify my worth in the company, and whether it did or it didn't, that's not our business. It's not our business. Our only business is if we have shares in the WWE or we're shareholders, that he was looking out for the company and not wasting money on an affair or a relationship that he shouldn't have been wasting. That's it. That's the only thing that anybody's looking at. And it's going to be tough to prove. But I'm going to tell you this. We should be patting ourselves on the back, each and every one of us on this show, because we were the very first show to say, I don't trust Tony Khan. It seems very odd that Shane McMahon is on the outs, and then Stephanie all of a sudden was on the outs. Triple H got all of his power stripped and all of his people taken away, and now Vince himself is under investigation, and somebody leaked those emails. And as God is my witness, a week after we did this, Dutch Mantel, Zeb Coulter, did an interview where he said, if I was Vince McMahon, I'd be looking very hard at Khan, Nick Khan. I said Tony Khan, Nick Khan. I'd be looking very hard at Nick Khan, because Nick Khan has openly said he's not against selling the company. And Vince McMahon has said, we're not selling. We're not interested. Well, you'd have to have all the McMahons removed before you could make that deal. And Nick Khan's well on the way to doing that. So here's a guy on the inside who worked very closely with Vince McMahon. And he's saying the same thing we did, Mike, which is don't trust Nick Khan. Something don't smell right.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, up until, they decided to go a different way with NXT before Nick Khan got there. But it just seemed like at the time, Triple H was, you know, okay, fine, whatever. And then Nick Khan comes in and says, not only are we going to go a different way, but Triple H, you're no longer in charge, and your guys aren't here anymore. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you think about it, you're right to not trust Nick Khan. You're right.
Yeah, I don't trust it, and something's wrong. Somebody leaked those emails. Now they're saying, oh, it was a friend of the woman. Okay, maybe it was, but what does she have to gain by leaking those emails? Always look for the person who has the most to gain when something like this happens, and I would say the person that has the most to gain is Nick Khan. So I'm suspicious of him. Anyway, let's get to the heart of the matter. Bianca Belair comes out and announces there's not going to be a match with Rhea Ripley because Rhea Ripley is injured. My head exploded. I mean it. I literally said, this has to be a work. She's going to come out and beat her ass or something. Something's up. There's no way on earth Rhea Ripley is injured. So I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for Rhea Ripley's under the ring. Rhea Ripley sneaks up on her. The lights go out, something. No. It's legit. Rhea Ripley is hurt. We were just talking about this, how you can't afford to have these injuries. And then she says, well, we're going to have a fatal five-way to determine who's going to face me at Money in the Bank. Then it will be Asuka, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, and Carmella. And I said, well, we know it's going to be Carmella because Asuka and Becky Lynch already have things to do at Money in the Bank. Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan are in Money in the Bank. The only person in this fatal five-way that has nothing to do at Money in the Bank is Carmella, so somehow she's going to win. And sure enough, she won. Now, it's pretty bad when you can pick the winner like that of a match that just literally got made. And I'm not saying it's necessarily bad because the match was good. The match was pretty good. But my goodness, you've kind of – and I love Carmella. Do not get me wrong. I was singing Carmella's praises from the day she walked in the door saying you could do something big with her. But you have not built her up to be any match for Bianca Belair. So now what you've done is you've taken Rhea Ripley, who's just in a new faction and starting her new push where you're like, well, you're going to push her to the top, quite obviously. And she's against the champion, and you've replaced her with someone who is really at the bottom of the barrel as far as being booked and loses on a regular basis and now is fighting the champion. She doesn't have a prayer. She doesn't have a prayer. So, Mike, that's a big step down, and that just goes to show what we were talking about before. The WWE, the injuries are just decimating them.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. As I was watching that match, you know, I know Becky and Asuka have stuff to do, because as I'm watching that match, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at Bianca Belair and sitting by the commentary table. I'm looking at it. I'm saying, okay, the only match that makes sense, the only match that people want to see, is Becky and Asuka, and one of them has to have the championship.
Right. Yeah, well, see, that's the problem. Is now we're looking at this and saying, well, where are we going to go with it? You're going to have Asuka all of a sudden win this match, and then she has a different role to play at Money in the Bank? No. So that means you're not going to do it with Becky either. So Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan, they're already in Money in the Bank, so you're not going to pull them out. So you knew Carmella was going to win. But it's such a step down. It's not Carmella's fault. I'm not saying she's way worse of an athlete than Rhea Ripley. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the way they're booked, it's almost like you took two main eventers and said, well, we're going to take one of the main eventers out and we're going to put a lower mid-card person in. It would be like, okay, well, we're supposed to have Brock Lesnar fight Roman Reigns, but Brock Lesnar's hurt, so he's going to fight Dolph Ziggler. Okay, well, that's not good. That doesn't mean that Dolph Ziggler's not a better wrestler than Brock Lesnar. It means that's not going to be a good match. Because we already know what's up. So, look, I just think it shows the weakness of the WWE when they don't have a second contender. They just have nobody else to fill in a spot. When someone gets hurt, it's a tragedy because, oh, well, we have nobody. Our bench is 100% deplete, or it's filled with people who we have totally ruined and made them mid-carders or less than mid-carders, and we have nobody to fill in that would qualify. I mean, that sucks. I was actually looking forward to that match because we did have a little bit of a doubt. Judgment Day just started. Maybe you do want to give Rhea Ripley the belt for a short period of time to further that, oh, Judgment Day is the real deal. Maybe you want to do that. Or maybe Bianca Belair is going to win and you know, Judgment Day is not that big of a deal anymore. I don't know. But at least we would have had some doubt. Carmella's not winning. And it's not going to be that great of a match. So, unfortunately, we take a big step down there. The match, though, however, Todd, was actually pretty good, so you have to give him some credit.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. That match, that five-way match last night was a pretty good match. And like you said, last night we saw Alexa Bliss try to do Sister Abigail.
A little bit, yeah. We then get to Matt Riddle coming out, and he gave an okay little diatribe about feeling like he let the fans down and himself down, but more important, Randy Orton, and he realizes now he cannot go back and get another shot at Roman Reigns, but he could win the Money in the Bank briefcase, which means that he could cash it in because that would override it. That made sense, but then he's going to fight Almas, and I said, oh, God, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? So we're going to take Riddle. I knew Riddle wasn't going to win, so now I'm saying you're going to take Riddle out of a ladder match, which is probably not the smartest move, because out of the people you're going to have in it, he's probably one who could do more stuff. And you're going to replace him with a guy who barely needs the ladder. And a guy who's going to do next to nothing in this match. But I knew it was going to happen. And sure enough, Riddle gives him a little bit of a fight, not really even all that much. And Almas is in. Which begs the question, I mean, if Almas can get in, having lost two or three matches to Bobby Lashley, how come Veer Mahan's not in it, who's lost to nobody? But whatever. Again, I don't know what the situation really is with Randy Orton. From what I'm hearing, he is, in fact, injured, and they're not sure exactly when his return is. Obviously, they don't think it's before SummerSlam, because that's my guess of why they brought Brock Lesnar back to do this SummerSlam match. And that's a shame, because I think they did have that set up for Randy Orton. And they had all their ducks in a row, too. They had Riddle out there saying, oh, my friend is hurt, and I'm doing this for him, and maybe they had something planned where Riddle was going to get hurt and Randy Orton was going to come back to avenge him, and now they got to throw that under the bus. But this is my point. The WWE's bench is so thin, and it's not thin because they don't have people. They got more people than, well, they don't have more people than AEW, but they're close, and they still have the NXT pool to pull from if they really wanted to. And what can they do? One person gets hurt, one person gets injured, there it all goes. Down the drain, all of our plans down the drain, back to square one. I don't know what to say, Mike. I wasn't too thrilled with this match, and I really thought maybe we'd have Riddle win by count out or something, but no. I don't think we got Mike there. Let me go to Todd. Todd, did you think that Almas was going to win this, or did you think they were going to somehow get Riddle in?
Well, like you said with Riddle, I thought he was going to probably win this match, but it looks like no.
Well, it definitely is no. And, Mike, I don't know why. What is it that Almas is going to do in this ladder match that's going to be impressive?
I don't know. I don't know why they did it this way. I mean, it's almost like they're half-assing it again. I mean, really.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. It's a mystery. We then get Dawkins against Jey Uso. Good match, but all this is a consolation prize. Dawkins, you can beat Jey Uso, but you're not winning the titles. We know what that is, so not much needs to be said about that. It's okay match. We get the Elias thing. Let's talk about that a little bit. I got to tell you, I am so surprised at how many people this actually fooled. I actually had people writing to me saying, oh, my God, they really are two different people. And I'm saying, folks, do you remember when Mankind did this with Dude Love and Mick Foley and Cactus Jack and everybody? It's not hard to do. Now, yes, I know they had to put the fake beard on and stuff, and that's impressive. They did a really good job because whoever did the beard really did it well. Looked like the old Elias beard right down to it. It was a little darker than normal, but it very good. Very good. And I'm going to give I'll give him credit. He doesn't really talk exactly the same when he plays Ezekiel as he does Elias. There's the same tone to the voice, but there's a different pitch. So he is consciously trying to create another character, which is good. But obviously it's the same person. The Kevin Owens thing was funny. When he came through the curtain, you could tell, however, that it was shot at a different time. And I knew what they were going to do. I knew they were going to have Ezekiel meet him there, so you'd say, well, that's impossible. How could Elias get out of the ring and beat Kevin Owens backstage and take off all that stuff? That's impossible. Now, you're right, it is impossible. So that's why Kevin Owens, who's doing a really good job with his reactions and things, the gimmick is fun enough, and it's entertaining enough, I guess, Mike, but I still say it doesn't make a whole lot of sense where they're going with it.
But the only place I see where they're going with it is Kevin Owens' slow descent into madness, right? And we saw that on the show, you know, that he's still kind of, not that he's angry, but madness. I mean, certifiable need to be in an insane asylum madness, you know? And where I see this going is somebody's got to talk him down. And who's that somebody? Sami Zayn.
I mean, it could be, but then if they want to flip Zayn's face, I don't know how they're going to do that because Elias is obviously a face. And I don't know whether they want to eventually just go with Elias and Ezekiel's going to be put out of this thing. Or if they want to go with Ezekiel and they're going to just get rid of Elias, or they're going to keep doing this back and forth thing. I don't know where this is heading. That's the problem. I wish I could see an avenue by which this is going to help Elias or Ezekiel or whatever, Todd, but I don't know if it is.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, it reminds me back in the Attitude Era when they did the Three Faces of Foley to wrestle Triple H on the Titantron. First Dulo comes out, then Mankind comes out, then Cactus Jack comes out going ballistic and comes out through the curtain. And it reminds me of that.
It reminds me of that, too, but you see, you clearly understood where you were going with that, and that was you might have to fight Dude Love. And he's tough, but he's not that tough. And if you get by him, you may have to deal with Mankind. And he's a lot tougher and a lot crazier and a lot harder to get through. But if you do happen to get through him, then you get to Cactus Jack, and that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a bad situation for you. So people understood that. That's not what they're doing here with Ezekiel. They're not necessarily saying Ezekiel's a little bit more peaceful, Elias is more hardcore. They're not doing that. I don't know where this is going. So it's a little bit frustrating. We'll see where it goes. We then got the pose down again with Theory, who came out, and when he went to take a selfie, Bobby Lashley's behind him. Lashley basically beats his ass. Theory comes up with an idea that if he can win a gauntlet match, he can have his shot at his U.S. championship at Money in the Bank. Okay, you know, and tonight, by the way, he's going to have the gauntlet match. So, okay, I guess that's fine. We get the Miz show with AJ Styles, leads to a match with AJ Styles and Tommaso Ciampa. I don't know what they're doing with Ciampa. All he's done is attack people and lose, attack people and lose. And certainly I knew he wasn't beating AJ Styles, so I knew he attacked him to lose, and that's exactly what happened. Not sure where that's going. Feel bad for Ciampa. This is a guy who is a major, major, major player in NXT, and it looks like he's going to be the new Dolph Ziggler of Monday Night Raw and just lose, lose, and oh, lose. By the way, Becky Lynch had convinced Adam Pearce that the proper thing to do is to give her another chance or put her in the Money in the Bank, and instead he says, well, you're fighting Asuka tonight. If you beat Asuka, you're in Money in the Bank. If Asuka beats you, she's in Money in the Bank. I'll tell you, Mike had said it best. These two have incredible chemistry in the ring. And I think it's because, from what I hear, Becky Lynch doesn't have a ton of friends anymore. I think Asuka's one of them. And they just work really well together. And when someone works that well together and you can count on them in a match, you got to try to make it for the title. And the match we got as the main event of this show should absolutely have been saved for a pay-per-view title match. This was a very, very good match. Becky Lynch has not lost any of her skill. She has lost quite a few pounds, and she does look frail, but she has not lost her skill. And Asuka came back from her long absence and really has picked it up. She looks fantastic. I would have much rather seen this on a pay-per-view, Mike, for the championship than just for a spot in a pay-per-view. But they did an outstanding job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to see this as a match on a pay-per-view. And again, we said it before, Becky Lynch needs to gain some weight. I'm sorry. Even if you don't put her against you know, what's her name, Bianca Belair, just look at her versus Asuka, all right? Asuka is a freaking fire plug. I've said it before. Asuka is a freaking fire plug, all right? And Becky Lynch is, like, frail. Asuka should be able to break her in half, you know?
Yeah, that's the problem is
yeah.
She's looking thin, and I don't know, man. It's you know, I hate to – I don't want to bust on somebody's physical appearance. I'm sure she's in better cardio shape and all that kind of stuff. But her gimmick was always sort of a – you know, she was a brawler and a hot-tempered sort of a person who could – had a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of muscle, a little bit of weight to her, and she could hold her own. She doesn't look like that now. You know, she looks thinner than Carmella. So that's a problem. The one that I'm most worried about, however, in this women's field is probably Alexa Bliss. And I'll tell you why I'm worried about her. Asuka's going to do just fine. And you know why? She's popular. She's real, real good in the ring. She doesn't speak a lot of great English, but she's a crowd pleaser. They're always going to keep her around. She's always going to do fine. She'll be fine. Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch. She's still the person who has literally helped the women's division soar to these heights. And thin or not thin, she's going to be fine. Bianca Belair is an outstanding athlete. She's going to be fine. Rhea Ripley's in a major angle with the Judgment Day. She's going to be fine. Liv Morgan is just starting to feel out who she is, and the fans are starting to get behind her. She's going to be fine. Alexa Bliss has a problem. And the problem is she doesn't know who they want her to be. And so she's being nobody. She's not being the goddess. She's not coming out with this whole goddess thing that she used to. And she's not the crazy you know, psycho girl. She's just nobody. And she's being treated like nobody. She doesn't win that much. And she doesn't seem to be a major part of any picture. Now, maybe they got her slated to win the Money in the Bank. I don't know. But if they don't, I don't know what you're doing with Alexa Bliss. A long time ago when they said, we just don't have anything for her, it almost seems like they said, and we still don't, but we better bring her front and center so we can still sell a bunch of those Lily dolls. She's holding on to the Lily doll for no reason. There's never any mention of it. There's never any indication that if something happens to that doll, she might freak out. There's never any furthering of, is her character balancing between being normal and going back to being psycho? There's nothing there. She's just her. And unfortunately, she's not, again, she's not her that we remember when she was the goddess. And she's not doing anything to indicate she's the old Alexa Bliss with the psycho stuff. So I don't know what they're doing with her, but I think she's getting lost in the shuffle, Todd. And that's a shame because at the end of the day, she's still their top female merchandise seller.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, and Alexa Bliss. They don't know what to do with her. They should, we should be writing Monday Night Raw, give her something to do, give her a gimmick, and not be lost in the shuffle all the time.
She has two very wonderful gimmicks if they just let her do it. One is this goddess type. I know they want her to be a face, so she can't do the I'm better than everybody else thing. That's fine. She was a face before when she did the goddess thing, and she was fine. Or flip her back. Whatever you're going to do, but or at least give us a little hint now and then. You know, at least give us a tiny little hint of something, even if you don't do it for months. You know, have somebody grab the doll and all of a sudden the expression on her face changes or something. And just something that you say, oh, okay, there's a little something to watch for. We're not getting anything from her, Mike. She almost is just like you're the extra person.
Right, and think about this. You still haven't given us the ending of her and Nikki Cross. I mean, Nikki Cross is another one that's stuck in a gimmick that's going nowhere, right? I know she may like it, but what if you had Nikki Cross, you know, grab the doll or whatever, and then all of a sudden she starts acting like her other self because she has the doll, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
You could play it like Alexa Bliss has control over her. You know? I mean that'd be something. And remember Alexa Bliss, she tweeted, "What do you want me to do?" Basically asking them, telling the fans they have nothing for me and asking the WWE, "What do you want me to do?" You know?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what I don't want her to do anymore. I don't want her and Liv Morgan to roll around on the mat like a giant beach ball 15 times. We've seen it. It was fun the first time. It's not fun the second and third time. Just wrestle. But she's got to have some personality. It looks like she's just mailing it in because she doesn't know where they want her to go. She was fabulous in that role as a psycho goth chick or whatever. It worked perfect. She was fabulous in the role as the goddess who thought she was an entitled whatever. She was real good when she started to come back down to earth and was a little bit more the face version of the goddess. But this Alexa Bliss has no personality. It's just, "Hi, I'm Alexa Bliss." That's it. There is nothing to her personality, and she's suffering for it. And it's a shame. It's a shame because she's one of the more talented people there. And she's really just relegated to doing a couple of things, and it's too bad. So anyway, this Monday Night Raw just felt funny. It almost felt as though they said, well, and I listen, I'm going to give them a pass on the Rhea Ripley thing because I don't know when they knew she couldn't wrestle, but they did the best they could with that. But the rest of this just felt kind of like thrown together. Let's just continue the Elias-Ezekiel thing with Kevin Owens, but we don't know what the end is going to be. That's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a guy who started a story and said, I got my characters in here, but I don't know what the ending's going to be. I'll just keep writing and see what happens. That's what that feels like. I don't know if Theory and Bobby Lashley has any real chemistry. I'm going to go on record and saying I don't think so. I don't think that's necessarily going to be a great match. We'll see. The Street Profits have no chance of winning the tag team belt, so this feud doesn't mean much. We know Carmella now is fighting Bianca Belair. That's a mail it in, right? So things are not looking good. And I know a lot of these are injury related. I get that. But I still go back to what I said. The WWE needs to have people waiting to take a spot that are built up and ready to go. Now, you could have done something much better than just say Becky Lynch, and I know you want the Becky Lynch is losing her karma or whatever deal. I get that. And I think it's going to lead to a face turn, quite honestly. But anyway, I get that. But you could have had something better built up than Carmella. You couldn't say, well, maybe we'll bring somebody up from NXT and it'll be a surprise. It'll be somebody that maybe Bianca Belair's faced before. There must be somebody down there she faced before. Something. No, can't do that. Just have it be Carmella, and that's good enough. And it's all starting to feel very much like it's just, everything's just good enough. Who cares? And we care as fans, let's face it. I mean, we're looking at Money in the Bank, and I'm saying, okay, the women's Money in the Bank match looks pretty good. You've got all the top women in there, pretty much. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match, I don't know. You got the Seth Rollins appearance. He says, I'm the only person that can take out Roman Reigns. Yeah, but nobody wants you to take out Roman Reigns unless you change the angle and change the whole gimmick. That's the problem. So what are we supposed to do? You're gonna take on Roman Reigns, and we're going to be rooting for Roman Reigns, so that's not going to work. It's not going to work. AJ Styles ain't even in it. So, again, you're looking around at this Money in the Bank going, eh. I did, however, think that Alexa Bliss Mike had one good line where she didn't say his name, but she certainly mentioned, I don't even remember his name now, James, what was his name, James, whatever, by saying, the guy with the weird chin, he's the one who had to give you the victory to begin with, Ellsworth. I thought that was funny. I don't think we have Mike there. Let's go to Todd. Todd, I was surprised they mentioned Ellsworth, considering, some of the problems.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. It was pretty funny when they mentioned James Ellsworth on Raw last night. And, the part you said about the chin was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you recognize the guy by just a comment on his chin. But so listen, that's going to affect my grade. I honestly think there were some good things on Raw. I know a lot of people did get a kick out of the Elias thing. That's fine. The women's matches, both of them, I thought were really good. I really did. The five-way match, there was a couple of moves in there that I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, including the suplex that landed on, I believe it landed on Carmella or something, looked pretty devastating. And Asuka and Becky Lynch did a fantastic job. I expected nothing less than that, and they were great. Then you would have thought that Tommaso Ciampa, AJ Styles, whoa, this is something we really can look forward to, but unfortunately, they're not booking Ciampa that way, so it was a pretty much of a, not an easy match, but it was certainly not the match it could have been for AJ Styles. As far as the gauntlet match, you're wasting the Alpha Academy. It's a shame. So I think this was a pretty subpar episode, really. There were some highlights. There were some things that were good, but it didn't hold my attention like SmackDown did. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a C-. I think it was a little less than average, Mike. It wasn't terrible, but I didn't see anything in there that was highly recommendable other than the two women's matches.
I got to give it a C-minus as well, and I did enjoy the fact that when Carmella goes, oh, I deserve to be in this match, and because I was a former champion, and they brought up the fact that Ellsworth helped her win it. I mean, they absolutely used it, and they allowed her to do it. They allowed Alexa Bliss to do it. And I also like the fact that Alexa Bliss, I believe she landed a double twisted bliss on a couple of the girls.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple of good moves in there. There's no question about it. But what I see, when I see all these women together in a match like this, I watch very carefully, and I notice, like, some of them will get out of the ring to let the two have their spot for a minute or two. But when they're all in the ring, you can kind of tell that it's Asuka and Becky Lynch who are calling the stuff. I don't know how Asuka manages to call it, but apparently she does. And you can sort of tell they're the ringleaders who are conducting the band, so to speak. I found that interesting. I just think we've lowered the interest in Money in the Bank because I don't want to see Almost in it. I think he's going to be more of a hindrance than a help. I don't necessarily have any interest in seeing Carmella against Bianca Belair. That sounds like less than a Raw match. The Street Profits against the Usos, that's a foregone conclusion. It'll be a good match, but it's a foregone conclusion. So, unfortunately, there's a decent amount of these matches that I just don't feel like is any big deal, Mike. And that's a shame because Money in the Bank should be a big deal.
Yeah, if you're going to tell me that if you're going to ask me what match should be the main event on Money in the Bank, it's got to be the women's ladder match. I mean, the women's Money in the Bank match. You know, that's because we know what those women can do. We know how they can do it. And they're all, I mean, no matter what you think about Carmella and how she got the title, at the time, we said she deserved it at the time, and we said that they, in fact, well, if you remember, we said that they should never have taken it away from Carmella in the first place at the time.
Right. Well, I just got this weird feeling that Lacey Evans is winning that. So it can be, oh, my story was so inspirational, and I rose to the occasion. I got that feeling that that's what's going to happen. Todd, what's your rating?
A C-.
Yeah, I don't think it was that much fun. A lot of this didn't hold my interest, I'm not going to lie. You know, again, there were some good matches, and there were some matches that didn't live up to their potential. Not because of the athletes. If you put AJ Styles and Tommaso Ciampa in a match and tell them you got 20 minutes, you're going to see one hell of a match. You didn't do that. You're just using Tommaso Ciampa apparently to warm up for the Miz. Wow. That's not too good. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll be back here on Friday.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.